today is based on the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We spoke to you last week, those of you that were here, about this man, Ananias. In the commencement of this chapter, we find this man, a very rich man. He had a parcel of ground which he sold, and under a pretext, he brought the money to the feet of the apostles. He held back part of the money, his wife agreeing with him. And when he came to Peter in a show of liberality and love for the cause of Christ, he brought this money to his feet. But Peter, he being inspired by the Holy Ghost, looked right at this man. He had been informed by the Spirit what was going on in the heart of this man. And therefore he spake unto him and said unto him, Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? While the property was thine own, could thou not do with it as thou saw fit? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And immediately this man fell down dead at the feet of the apostle. There were young men seated in this gathering, and they came and picked up this man Ananias. They wound him up, and they went out with him and buried him. His wife, she knew all about this matter with this man, holding back the price of this parcel of ground. And when her husband did not return, she began to be worried about him. She waited and waited, but he did not come back. Finally, she thought she would go to the apostles herself and see why that her husband did not return. And she came to the apostles, and when she came in the door, Peter saw her. And he immediately spoke to her and said unto her, Did you sell this parcel of ground for this price? Yes, she says, we did. He says unto her, How come that you agreed with your husband to lie to the Holy Ghost? The feet of those that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they likewise shall carry thee out. And she fell down dead at the feet of the Apostle Peter. And these young men came in, wound her up, and took her and buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon all those that heard these things. You may be sure that these people saw that there was someone in these apostles that revealed what was going on in the hearts of those creatures that made a profession of Christianity. He was one of the first that made a profession, Ananias, and here God detected before the whole multitude that he was a hypocrite, that he was not true within, that it was just for show and for vanity and to make a name for himself that he came forward in this manner. All these people that joined the church at that time, they became afraid, for we read, there durst none to join with them anymore. There were probably multitudes joining the church at that time, making a profession of Christianity. But now when these things took place, they became afraid. Fear filled them. Fear that God, who knew their hearts, probably would punish them likewise. And we find that these apostles, they were gifted men. They were gifted to perform many miracles. Here they even detected in the heart of Ananias and Sapphira the hypocrisy. My dear hearers, this teaches us an important lesson, that God is strict and swift to witness against sin at some times. We see that here in these people. How strict he was, how quick he came, and what fear it brought upon the multitude. Their sin was lying. Oh, this sin lying, my hearers, is so predominant amongst each and every one of us. God says in his word, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, how easily we fall into this sin, my hearers. How quickly we have a word upon our lips which is a lie. We do it so unconsciously sometimes without even thinking. And it's a fearful thing, my hearers, when we consider what the word of God says about those that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, that they shall not enter in those who love and maketh a lie. Should God, in his strict justice and in his anger, come down and witness against each and every one of us, I don't think there would be one of us that would go free. Every one of us, I believe, are guilty of lying at this time or that time. Not that we purposely lie, they purposely lie, but how easily we fall into this sin. This sin is very predominant sometimes in one nation and less in another. St. Paul speaks about the Cretans, of the island of Crete, that these people, they were all liars. They were addicted to this sin. Oh, my hearers, let me warn you, in the sight of him who sees us and knows us, oh, may it be our earnest prayer that God would make us honest, make us sincere, make us upright, and keep us from this terrible sin of lying, for no liar will ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. And these apostles, they were gifted with miraculous power. We find that right after this, many people that were sick, that were afflicted, that were vexed with evil spirits, they came to the apostles and they healed them. So much virtue and power went out from these apostles that people were immediately cured of whatever affliction they had. You know, they had prayed to God that God would perform wonders by the name of Jesus Christ, and that many signs and wonders may be done in and through this precious name. And God began to fulfill the answer to their prayer. Why, Peter, if he walked down the street, the people started to carry out those that were sick, and they laid him on the street. And if the sun was shining and Peter was walking down the street, the shadow of Peter would fall upon these people lying on the beds, and immediately they were cured, they were made whole. How wonderful did God witness with these men. And they were called to be witnesses, and God was with them in every way and in every respect. And they began not only to cure and to heal many people that were sick and afflicted, but God witnessed with their preaching, my hearers. That was more important. You know, they could cure sick people and afflicted people, but they couldn't convert people. That was God's work. And when God came with his word to the hearts of sinners, we find that daily many were added to the church. Many were given to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in and through the instrumentality of their preaching. Oh, what a witness of the Spirit went out with that voice. My hearers, today we find no witness hardly at all in the church. Many ministers, they speak for years and years, and there's no soul converted under their ministry. So sad it is in the days in which we live that the Spirit is so departed from us and from our children. But these apostles, they received a name for themselves. Their fame was spread far and wide. All around Jerusalem, all from the towns nearby, they began to bring in all the sick and all the afflicted people. And they all laid them in rows, waiting for Peter to go by so that they would be healed. Why, of course, this caused a great stir in the city of Jerusalem. Everybody was talking about these apostles, and everybody was talking about Jesus. It was in and through his precious name that these people were being healed and being cured. And they were talking to these people about Jesus, who was raised from the dead, who was at the right hand of the Father, who was exalted to do these wonders and miracles which were taking place. And now these religious leaders, the Sadducees, and the captain and the rulers in the temple, they became angry. Instead of being so glad and so happy that they had such men amongst them and that such wonders were being done, no, they were filled with anger, filled with wrath. For they had told these men that they shouldn't speak in the name of Jesus. And now, why, the whole city of Jerusalem was filled with the name of Christ. All his name was being spread forward. And this was the purpose of the apostles, to preach Jesus Christ. And now these rulers and these people that were of the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they were so mad at these people that were teaching the resurrection of Christ. Why? If what they were teaching was the truth, well, then they were wrong. Then what they taught the people was error. And this is what hurt. This is what struck home by these Sadducees. This is what made them angry. Oh, my hearers, even to this day, there are many religious leaders, religious people who come under the truth. And when they hear of the true doctrine of salvation, are they having a hope inside that they also are going to heaven, and they hear just the opposite, are they affected thereby? No. Just like the Sadducees, they become angry. They become filled with anger. They would not listen anymore to such things. But these Sadducees and rulers had power. And therefore, they talked with each other. And they said, we have to stop these men. Why, they're filling the whole city of Jerusalem with their doctrine. So they counseled together to take these apostles and put them in prison. That would silence them. They wouldn't be able to speak anymore. So they came upon the apostles, and they threw them into the common prison. This is what they got again, for all the good they'd done. This was the reward they got for preaching and for doing so many good things to the people in the city of Jerusalem. These apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were cast into prison, they weren't downcast. No. But I sincerely believe that when they were in prison, they unitedly in one accord lifted up their hearts unto God, that he would give them strength to persevere for the cause of Jesus Christ. And truly God heard that prayer, I believe, that very night. He sent an angel from heaven after these men, the rulers and the captains, had placed these apostles in the prison. They set watchmen by the doors of the prison so that they couldn't escape. But here God in heaven came to their rescue. And he sent an angel who opened the doors of the prison. Many of the saints and the apostles have been given to be persecuted and brought into prison. Some of you are familiar with John Bunyan. He spent 12 years in prison because he spoke the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Here these apostles, they weren't even one night in prison. And God came to their rescue. He delivered them. And the angel spake unto these men, and said unto them, go, stand ye in the temple, and speak ye unto the people all the words of this life. He didn't say unto them, go and hide yourself somewhere, run away for fear of these people, the rulers and the captains. No. He pointed to these apostles their commission. They had been commissioned by God to preach. And he told them that they should return to the temple, and they should stand there, and they should speak unto the people, and that they should speak all the words of this life. Oh, my hearers, these apostles, they were obedient to this heavenly messenger. They were delivered out of the prison. Oh, probably they went home first. And that very morning, early, they returned to the temple to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. What a miraculous deliverance this was. For when we consider that there were guards standing at the prison door, how did this angel open the doors? How did they get out of the prison without anybody detecting that they were out? It appears that all the apostles were in the prison. They had them all locked up in the common prison. And now they were all set at liberty by the angel, without any of the guards knowing anything about it. Here was an act of God, my hearers, a wonderful act that God performed for his saints. I don't know if any one of you people have ever been in prison. You know, to be in prison for a crime that we have committed is a blot upon our name and upon our character. And it never is erased. It remains. I hope that none of my hearers may ever have to enter into a prison for that reason. But these men were in prison because they had done good, because they had spoken in the name of Jesus. And when we are put in prison, my hearers, because of this, and we have a clear conscience, we will find that God will be with us even in prison. And that God will recognize our prayer and hear us and answer us in due time. I don't know if any of my hearers have ever been in prison spiritually. All this is something that very few people experience. It's an experience, my hearers, that actually every one of God's children experience, to be brought into prison. You know, there's a time in the lives of God's people when they are born again, when God sheds his love abroad in their hearts, and they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Why, everything is new. Oh, they get new ears, they get new eyes, and they get a new taste, and they get new feelings in their souls. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to experience a new birth, my hearers. There isn't anything more important for each and every one of you, my hearers, to be born again, to receive this new life, a life that comes from God, a life that will never die. But there are times in this experience that it seems that this life is practically gone. So many of God's children are troubled with this. Oh, sin becomes alive again. And when sin revives, oh, you have no power, no strength against it. Oh, how many times haven't you fallen before sin? Be honest with yourself. You hate it. You wish you never had a sin anymore. But oh, it's such a strong enemy. It overpowers the strongest Christian that ever lived. And my hearers, when sin overpowers us, it lays us low. We begin to fear. We begin to think that the work of God is not in our hearts. For it isn't just one sin, but oh, it's a whole army of sins that seems to come up and make a battle against the soul. And the soul is sometimes just overwhelmed with sin. And then when it reads, "Sin shall not have dominion over you," and it sees that sin has dominion, what does it do? It concludes that it hasn't got grace. It concludes it's all wrong. Oh, it has bars and it has chains of guilt and of sin that holds it down. It can't deliver itself. It's in prison. It's held there by sin, by guilt, and sometimes by Satan. You ever been in prison that way, my hearers? Couldn't believe anymore. I didn't have any hope anymore. Did you ever get out of it? Thinking sometimes you're going to perish in this state. And now what happened to these apostles? There came a messenger from heaven, an angel. Of course, God don't use angels today to come to us, but he uses his precious word. And if you should get a text from the Bible in that state, And that should lift you up out of that prison. It's just like if an angel came and spake to you. It's the word of God that lifts us up out of these states and out of these frames in which we are in. You ever pray, bring my soul out of prison, like the psalmist prayed? Oh, I've been in prison, my hearers, many times. And God brought me out so many times. Glory be to his name. He never left me in it. And my hearers, have you been delivered at times from this prison? You must glorify God for what he has done for you. And these apostles, surely they couldn't do anything else but praise and glorify God. They were just filled with the Spirit. And they didn't run away from their work. No, they were obedient. Go, stand ye in the temple, and speak unto the people all the words of this life. And they went back right into the temple. They didn't hide. They didn't try to conceal themselves or flee away from those that were trying to persecute them. No. They went immediately the next morning into the temple, and there they stood. And they had a great multitude of people listening to them. They were teaching them. Oh, my hearers, there's no better place to be than in the temple. You like to come to the temple? You like to come to hear the word of God? Have you a desire in your soul that your soul may be born again, that you may receive life divine? Let me entreat you to come to the temple. It's there where God performs his wonders. It's where his word is truthfully and faithfully preached, and that he is pleased to come and witness with the word. That's what he did with these apostles. That's what we're hoping that he will do amongst us, my hearers. That's our prayer, that God will come down and witness amongst us. Raise up monuments of grace. Prove that he is with us yet, and his spirit has not departed from us. And these apostles, they speak unto the people. Oh, they were commissioned from on high. You know, I'm jealous of these apostles. They didn't have to study all week to find out what they were going to teach about, what they were going to speak about. They just went to the temple, and the Spirit came in, and the Spirit gave them matter to speak. Why, it just flowed out of them. As the Spirit gave them utterance, so they spake. Oh, there's no more blessed work in the world to be in the service of the Lord if the Spirit is in you. It's a question many times with many that are laboring as I am, whether we have the Spirit or not. And now these men, they were teaching the people. What were they teaching them? They were teaching them about Jesus Christ. Why, they were so filled by the Spirit with Christ that they couldn't do anything else but speak about Jesus, about his life, about his birth, about his resurrection, about his death. Why, they continued to speak nothing else but Jesus. My hearers, there isn't anything else that can give us life but Jesus. He's the life of everything. He was the life of these apostles. In him they lived, and about him they wanted to speak, and that's all they did, day after day. And oh, my hearers, now this is a wonderful text for those that labor in the vineyard of God. Go, stand ye in the temple, and speak ye unto the people all the words of this life. Oh, I wish God would bring that home to some young person sitting here. Honestly, I do. That he would say, go ye, stand ye in the temple, speak unto the people. Oh, that he would raise up some young men amongst us. That's what's lacking in our church, my hearers. We don't have any men that God sends, that God commissions. Oh, how few there are in the world today who can give us a satisfactory confession of their commission from on high to preach the gospel. And what did they speak about? They spoke words of life. You know, that condemns so many ministers today. I ain't in the habit of going to other churches, and I've never heard any other ministers. But I'm told that they don't speak the words of life, because they don't have life themselves. How can anyone speak about life if they don't have it? If we have life, then we may explain what goes on in the soul of man. And when we speak about life, my hearers, if you have life, there will be something corresponding in your heart. As face answers face in the water, so the heart of man answers another. These apostles, they spake the words of life. And you know God witnessed with that word. He brought life to sinners. They were made alive from the dead, made alive to live forevermore. Have you been made alive? How long have you been coming to the church? Probably all your life. And you never heard the word of life. Some of you are old people already, in the 70s, maybe in the 80s. You've been going to church all your life. Never have you heard by the Spirit the word of life. How sad is your condition, my hearers. It isn't because you didn't come to church. It isn't because that you didn't want to hear the word of God. But we see in this the sovereignty of God. Well, there may be two sitting together. The one is taken and the other is left. Who's going to say to God, what doest thou? This has been going on throughout all the ages as this world has stood. How very few people profit under the word. How few experience life when the message is being brought. Oh, my hearers, God's people even must complain that they are so dead and so barren under the ministry of the word. And what must it be then to those that are dead in trespasses and sins? Oh, may God in his infinite mercy pour out his Spirit upon us. And may sinners be given to hear that we're what one word. Just one word, my hearers. Don't take much. Oh, no. It didn't take much for Nathan to tell David how guilty he was. Thou art the man. And that was enough. David went home guilty in the sight of God. And if God should bring home some word to you, my hearers, it'll be a word of life. It'll communicate life to your soul. It'll make you alive unto God. It'll give you to know him, to realize that you have to do with him, that he is very near you, and that he is the searcher of your heart. He knows all your ways and all your sins and everything he will reveal to you. In a moment's time. Oh, what a revelation that is sometimes by one word. It makes a person fall down before God, guilty, wretched, miserable, and undone. Oh, how I wish God would perform this wonder amongst us, my hearers. And these men, they spake in the temple. And now this council came together the next day, and they sent the captain of the temple and the rulers to the prison to get these men and bring them to them. And when they came there, they found the prison door shut, the guards standing in the front of it, and when they opened it, there was nobody in the prison. The men were gone. Well, this was something they couldn't understand. This already should have proved to them that there was a higher hand with these men than what they thought. For they found the prison empty. And when they came back and told the council that they were to the prison and they found everything intact, but the men that they had put in there weren't there, they were at loss. They didn't know what to make of it. And then came one into the council and said, the men that you put in prison are in the temple. They're standing in the temple teaching the people. So they sent the captain and the rulers to the temple to take these men again. And you know the people, they loved the apostles. Oh, they magnified these apostles. Why? Why, because they had done so many miracles among the people. So many people had been raised up from their afflictions. And they esteemed these men very greatly and very highly. And therefore, when these guards and captains came to the temple to take these men prisoners again, they feared the people. They were afraid that the people would take up the side of these apostles and stone them. So they didn't take them with violence. They didn't handle them roughly. They didn't beat them and take them back to the council. Oh, no. And these apostles, they offered no resistance. They didn't fight, but they went along. They consented to go with them. the Spirit of Christ, my hearers. Spirit of meekness, of humbleness, of lowliness. Oh, how I wish we had more of this spirit amongst us. You know, we'd be ready to fight. We'd be ready to fight back and let go. But not them. They went. And when they came before the council, we find that the high priest, he speaks unto the apostles. What does he say to them? Does he say to them, how did you get out of the prison? Who let you out of the doors? How come that you escaped without the guards knowing anything about it? Not a word about it. You don't read anything about that. Whether they did question them about that is another matter. But you don't read that they did. They began to speak to them and said, have we not commanded you not to speak in this name? Lo, ye have filled all Jerusalem with this doctrine, and ye mean to bring the blood of this man upon us. You notice the high priest. He didn't say, you have been speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, no, they wouldn't mention that name. And he called him, Jesus Christ, a man, in disdain, in hatred. They wouldn't recognize Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Oh, no, not the high priest either. And they spake to the apostles that they had disobeyed them. They had given them a command not to speak anymore in that name. And they had transgressed this command. And therefore they were brought before the council again. Oh, my hearers, we find Peter speaking unto them and saying that we have to obey God more than man. You see, Peter, he had a commission from on high. These people, they were rulers. And they were authorities in the government. But there was one higher in them that had commissioned Peter and the apostles. And Peter directed them to God. God had commissioned them. God had told them that they should go forth and speak in his name. And they had to obey God more than man. Do you obey God more than man, my hearers? Oh, how many make excuses and say this and say that when they should obey God and they don't obey him. I said last week, how many work on Sunday? And they say, well, the word teaches us that we are to obey those that are in authority over us, making excuses because they want to work on Sunday and make money. My hearers, we are to obey God. Oh, when we obey God, we will have a clear conscience. We will have God on our side, my hearers. Oh, how many disobey God every day of their lives. Disobedience is a great sin in the sight of God. This is what we have begun to do in Adam, and that's what you and I do every day of our life. We're disobeying God. And what a wonder that he bears with us yet. But these apostles, they were commissioned and sent by God. And they were to obey him. And then he began to speak unto these rulers. The God of our fathers has raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Oh, he wasn't afraid. He didn't hold back his words. Oh, no. The Holy Ghost gave Peter to speak. He didn't have to worry about what he was going to speak about. The God of our fathers, he says, raised up Jesus from the dead, whom ye slew and hung upon the tree. All he brought home to them their sin, their guilt, the crime that they were guilty of, crucifying and slaying Jesus Christ. And he began to say unto them that God had exalted him to his right hand so that he would bestow repentance and forgiveness of sins unto Israel. He first brought home their sin, their guilt, and then he brought home to them that this Jesus was willing to forgive, that he was willing to give repentance and forgiveness even for that crime that they were guilty of. Oh, the Apostle Peter preached the gospel to these people. Oh, there was forgiveness even for them. And there is forgiveness, my hearers, for each and every one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. Whoever may be given true repentance in this life will find forgiveness, will have pardon sealed home in due time, and will be given to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Oh, this is the gospel, glorious gospel, for the greatest of sinners, even for these rulers and captains that had committed that crime. But how did they take it? Did they receive it like those on the day of Pentecost? Oh, no, my hearers. This message of Peter was not received in this manner by these people. Peter began to speak a little more unto them. And he said unto them, "We are witnesses of Jesus, and also the Holy Spirit, in whose heart they are given, and who obey him." This was telling them their commission. He, Peter, and the rest of the apostles were witnesses of Jesus Christ. They were to witness about him what he had done, and that he was at the right hand of God, ready and willing to forgive. This was his theme, and the Holy Spirit likewise, whose ever heart it entered into, would also bear the same witness. All this Spirit of God, my hearers, witnesses in the hearts of his people. Has it ever witnessed in your heart? Have you ever received something by the Spirit of God that has brought you to Jesus? Or that has brought you weeping and wailing and crying and sighing unto him for forgiveness? That's repentance. Oh, what a blessing it is. I wish we had a whole congregation of such kind of sinners who were crying and sighing after Jesus to find forgiveness for their sins. And these apostles, my hearers, were bold, were fearless, because they were filled with the Spirit of God. They had no fear of man. They cared not. They had an almighty friend. He had revealed that he was with them. He had delivered them out of the prison. He had given them a subject to speak about. Oh, there could not fall from their heads a hair without his heavenly will. And they trusted in him, relied upon him. And he was the object of their affections. He they wanted to speak about. He they wanted to lift up and glorify. Oh, I wish I could lift him up, my hearers, like they did. Oh, they had nothing else to say but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wish to continue with this, my hearers, but my time is gone. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue the lesson from this point.